Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are in our second week of our brand new series called Luminous. And when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said that as Christians, we are to be the light of the world. This world is a dark place. It's a place full of sin and pain. As followers of Christ, we have something amazing. And what that is we have the truth. The truth that there is a God who exists, that loves us and knows us personally, and he wants to be with us. God asks that we recognize that we have done wrong in this life, and those things that we have done wrong, there is a price that needs to be paid, and that price is death. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be born here, to teach us and show us what it looks like to follow God with our lives. And then he died for us on a cross. He paid that price. With Jesus' death, we are saved because he was the sacrifice that we needed for the things that we've done wrong against God. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can now be with God, and we now have the light, and we have the truth of God, and we are with God. And God is in us through the Holy Spirit, which is God living inside of us. Since we know the truth and have the light, we have to be set apart from the darkness. Meaning we are called to live differently, to live for something so much more than just what is here and now on earth. And through this series, we're talking about the different ways as followers of Christ, we're able to be the light of the world. Not to just hold up a flashlight wherever we walk and say, look, I'm the light of the world. Okay, this is not a literal thing, but it's spreading the truth of God, knowing that he is the one true God and that he loves us and knows us. Last week, we looked at how Christians, we are to be the light of the world through the way that we love. One thing that we struggle with as people is to define what love is, and that word is used very flippantly, and we try to set our own definition of what we say love is, but there is only one way that you can truly define love, and that is through God. We read time and time again in the Bible that God is love. The way that he takes care of us is what love is supposed to look like. This means through compassion, mercy, grace, and kindness. But it's also to call us out on the things that we are doing that are hurting us. To help us turn from the things that maybe we don't want to turn from. Most people do not like hearing the word no, and we definitely do not like to hear that we're doing something wrong. But God does it over and over again. He says to us, I don't want you to do these things. Why? Because they are harming you. They are keeping you from me. It's not because he wants to control you. It's not because he wants to stop you from doing things that you think are fun, but it's because he loves us so much. He wants us to follow him, to experience real love. And as people who call themselves Christians, we are to show that same kind of love that God has shown us. So this is the foundation of everything that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks. So if you do not have love in all of the things we talk about, that means you do not have God. And if you do not have God, you're not being the light of the world. So we have to understand that love is step one. Last week, we ended on 1 Corinthians 13, which is the chapter that many call the chapter of love. And we like to use these verses at weddings and talk about it with spouses, but this is what godly love is. But last week, we went over the attributes of what love is, and today we're actually going to start in 1 Corinthians 13:3. 13:3 is where we're going to start, and it's talking about in everything we do, we need to have love. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 13:3. I'm not even at the right. I'm sitting in Matthew like a chump. 1 Corinthians 13:3. This is what it says. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And so this is our topic for today. Being the light of the world through serving. This verse from 1 Corinthians makes it very clear you can give your time, you can give your money, you can even work yourself to the bone, but if you do not do it in love, you truly are gaining nothing. You're not truly serving. And that is because we need to understand what it truly looks like to serve, and we need to understand who we are actually serving. So when it comes to serving, we have this thought process that if we do good things for others or we sacrifice something, well, that is serving. Well, we just read in 1 Corinthians that this is not true. It's more than that. It's about your heart. We can easily get wrapped up in, look at all the good that I've done for others. Look how I have helped so many people. Look at how many people that I have blessed. And when you just look from that aspect, it's easy to say, yeah, this is good. You're doing good things and you're helping people. But as followers of Christ, it has to be more than that. People who do not know God, they do these things as well. Not all homeless missions are done in the name of Jesus. Not all charities and helpful organizations are doing it for God. Just because they're going out there and they're doing what we would consider good things, this does not mean that they're being the light of the world. Now, are those things that are being done, are they good? Yes, they're great. They're fantastic. They're awesome and amazing things. I don't want you to say, well, if you're not a Christian charity, then you're garbage and you're not doing anything good. No, that's not what is being said here at all. What I'm saying is we have to do it differently. I love to see people helping one another. But as a follower of Christ, we are called to serve in a different way. More than just giving to the body. More than just meeting a need. There's so much more that we are supposed to give. And this is something that is hard to recognize and understand and has been since the beginning with Jesus. And so we're going to go back to Matthew 20, 20 through 28. And we're going to read about some of the disciples and what they were trying to do when it came to serving. Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. This is what it says. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So when we read this, we can easily look at this and go, man, the disciples again, they just didn't get it. They don't understand what's happening here, but we're kind of in the same boat when we look at this. And so we have to understand that this happened at a point where these men have already given up everything to follow Jesus. They have done amazing things in the name of God. They've been there to witness all the miracles, to hear all the teachings of Jesus. These men have come humbly to ask Jesus. They didn't come in demand. It says that they came kneeling down. In all honesty, they kind of got their mom sicking on Jesus, you know? Like, "Hey, mom, can you go and put in a good word for us?" And mom shows up and says, "Hey, Jesus, can I ask something of you?" And she's, I'd like you to glorify my son so they can sit with you. They can be with you. And when we stop there and look at this, you need to understand when you're sitting at the right hand of the king, you are in a position of power. You are the right hand man. That's where it came from. And then you have the left side, which, yeah, you're still awesome and great and wonderful, but it's the right hand man. And I think it's really interesting. She's like, pick one. It's okay. And I just imagine her like looking at one of her sons and be like, this one. This is the good one. You know, kind of like getting them all in riled up against each other. But what we see here is she says, I want my sons to be with you and to serve with you. Let them sit at your side and serve in your kingdom. Again, this does not sound like a bad thing. And Jesus gives them a little bit of what is to come, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Jesus says, you don't even realize what you're asking for here. Because Jesus, he came to truly serve. Not to be in high positions, but to give everything he had completely. And then when we hear that the other 10 hear about this, the brothers, they're like, what are you two doing? It says they get mad. They were indignant. Like, wait, what? What makes you guys think that you can go and ask to be the right-hand man of the Messiah over us? We're all serving here. What makes you so important that you need to be elevated in your position to serve? And this is why Jesus calls them all together. If you notice, Jesus didn't just say, hey, two brothers, you and me, let's go talk, okay? Let's go ahead and hash this out. No, he takes all of them because none of them were understanding. He gathers all the disciples together because they were missing what serving truly is. And that's when Jesus says in verse 25, you have seen what the rulers of the Gentiles do, the people who are not Jews. What do? They take these positions, they take this authority, and they use it to rule over the people, to have people work for them, to lord it over them. And Jesus is saying that those who want to be truly great, those who want to truly be honored by God and to honor God, you have to do the opposite of those things. It's not about your position. It's not about saying, well, if I'm right next to Jesus, well, then I can truly serve then. No. Verse 26, he says, whoever wants to become great among you, you need to be a servant. And then Jesus steps it up a notch. He says, whoever wants to be first, you must be a slave. We hate that word today in our culture. It truly carries a lot of weight. That word slavery. I don't think there's anybody that goes, oh, that's got, you know, great thoughts in my head. I love slavery. No, nobody's in a positive light with that. Because you're being bound in chains. You have no will of your own. You are treated as less than. But we know this is the opposite of what God gives us. God does not make us slaves. He breaks the chains of sin. He sets us free. And we are told to not use our freedom that we have to gain things for ourselves, to not use the freedom that we have to fulfill our own desires. So what is he talking about when he says that we need to be like slaves? It's talking about in our mindset to say, God, you are all-knowing. God, you give me every breath I take. I only breathe and exist because of you. I know that you can take me at any moment. And a slave does not act unless told to do something. A slave does not seek to be the master. What does a slave do? They are there completely to serve. And what's the most amazing part is verse 28. And Jesus says, and guess what? He says, I came to serve and not be served. Jesus came as a slave. Jesus came to give us everything. And he has all the authority. He's God. He has all power. He's Lord of lords. He's King of kings. And even he came to serve because that's what serving truly is. And then we get another example of this in Philippians 2. Let's turn to Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. It says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." So it starts off with saying, in your relationship with each other, you have to think as Jesus thought. And if we were to summarize what's being said here, it says, make yourself nothing. Take the nature of a servant, even if it is to the point of giving your all, even if it is to the point of death. When you summarize these verses like this, and we say, now who wants to follow? People aren't jumping up and down going, choose me. I want to be nothing. You can kill me. No. None of us are saying, let's be that person. But this is what Jesus chose. Because the truth is, yes, we want to be like Jesus. Yes, we want to follow His ways, and we want to serve the way that He says to serve. But to be known as nothing, to be thought of less than, especially if you're already doing a lot of serving and giving and loving other people, when you put yourself out there and you're sacrificing so much for others, it can seem unfair to go, wait, there's no payoff to this? I'm supposed to just keep giving, even if people are hating me, even if I feel like it's not doing anything, I need to just keep on serving and giving. And it's because it's not about what we want. It's not about what we can gain. It's not about making ourselves feel good. But in all honesty, it's not truly about serving one another either. It's about following God, following His will, and following His plan. Why did Jesus die on the cross? It wasn't because we cried out and said, save us, please, I need it. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because it was God's plan and will. And thank God it was His plan and will, because it was perfect. And it always goes back to the greatest commandments. First one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Give Him your all first. Become a servant to God. And then the second commandment is like it. Then serve others. Then love your neighbor as yourself. We are to be the light of the world, and the way we do that is by serving God. And in turn, God will have us serving people. And when we do this properly, it truly shows. It's not about how many people we can serve either. Okay, it's not about saying, well, you know what? I started this huge charity. We're going to help 20,000 people. That's fantastic, awesome, and wonderful. It is just as important to help that one person that God has called you to. It's not about how much money that you can raise to make a difference. Well, we have raised $10 million, and what we're going to do is we're going to eliminate everybody's medical debt. I've seen that, and it was amazing. And I was like, that is awesome. Hundreds of families were taken off the burden of the medical debt they had, and it's beautiful and wonderful. But giving that $100 to that mom that just needed some money for groceries, that's beautiful and amazing as well. We have to stop measuring on who is serving the greatest, because it's all about following God and who He calls you to serve. It could be one person, or it could be 10,000. The number does not matter. It's about following God and His example. So one thing that I say as a minister, and it's not very popular, so I don't know why I keep repeating it, but it's because it's the truth. And I want you to know this, is that I do not serve the church. I do not serve the people. I want you to know, I serve God. And with me serving God, in turn, he has me serving you. Do you see the order? Do you see how that works? It's wherever God is leading me to go, that's what I follow because that is the one that I serve. When we get that mixed up, what happens is I'm trying to serve the people and they're telling me what is right and what is wrong. And I'm forgetting the best piece in the world. And that is that I serve Him. And because I serve Him, I serve the church and I serve its people. And this is what Paul says. So our last group of verses we're going to read comes from 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 17. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me trustworthy, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who would believe in Him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul starts off with, I did horrible things. Like, horrible things. And if you know Paul's story, where he was Saul, he was a murderer. He chased Christians down, and he made sure that they paid for what they believed in. And he said, I was a lost sinner. And he says, thank God that God forgives us so abundantly because I need it so much, much more than we deserve. But this is why Paul serves. And we know that Paul served people all the time. We read all about it. He loved people from afar. He was with them. He gave his all. He did everything. But it wasn't about serving the people. It was about serving God because God said, go. God said, help these people. Go this way. Go that way. Be the light of the world. And it's not just because he has to. It's because he wants to. Paul says, I can do nothing but serve God with my whole being because of what he's done for me. And what did Paul bring? Money? No. Food? No. He brought the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what he brought. The good news to all. When you serve, it's not to just feed a person as a follower of Christ. It's not just to give them some comfort. It's not about just meeting a need or a want. It's to give them something everlasting. It's to bring them hope in a broken world. And then it's to make yourself a servant, just as Jesus did. And it's so that they can learn the truth of God, so then they can give their lives to Him. And this is something that we should be doing always. Not just in the ways that the church offers serving opportunities. Those are great. Those are wonderful. Those are fantastic. Keep serving, please. Do not just leave us alone with just a few of us to do the work here. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is serve God in your everyday life, wherever He's leading you. Allow Him to lead you in ways to serve the church and how to serve family members and how to serve friends, how to serve people you don't know. Whatever is on your heart, go out there and serve, but make sure you are serving the Almighty God first when you do it. Because when you are doing what God calls you to do, that's when you'll be the light of the world. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. We are all called to serve. We are all called to be the light of the world through our service. This week, I want everyone to pray and ask God, how can I be the light of the world? How can I serve you, Lord? And then we get this part that we don't like so much. then you got to listen to what God is saying. And that's never easy because we're like, yeah, I don't want to do that. That sounds horrible. I know you're putting this on my heart. No, thanks. That's a lot to give up. But listen to what he's saying. And then there's that next step, which is not fun either, which is to go out there and do it. But make sure you talk to him first. Now, there are many places and ways to serve. The church here is an easy answer. I'm going to say church is a cheat. That's not right. It's not a cheat. No, church is an easy answer because everything we do here is to bring God glory. That's what we do. Everything that we're doing here, whether it's a ministry that's outside or pushing or inside here, what we're doing is we're trying to help people understand how awesome God is. But there are also so many other ways to serve. And if you're saying, I need some ideas, I need some help, reach out to somebody here in leadership. I know so many that are a part of leadership here. They don't just serve here. Yes, they serve the church and we are so thankful. It's awesome and wonderful. But they do so much as well in their daily lives. And so if you're saying, hey, I need some ideas, reach out to somebody. We'd love to talk to you about different ways that you can serve. We need to be the light. We need to serve as Jesus served. And we need to say, yes, God, I will follow and do everything you ask me to do. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your words. It's not always easy to read these things and go, yes, I'm all in. Please count me as nothing. Please make me a slave. It's so hard for us to look at this and say, I want that. But when we realize that we're being a servant to you, the one who is good, the one who is love, the Almighty that can do anything, it should put us at ease and say, yeah, I'm going to give you my all. I'm all in for you, Lord, because I know you love me and you have plans to prosper me, not to harm me. I pray that as we leave this area here and that we go out into the world, that we can be a light for you, that we can serve in your name, that we can bring the truth and hope that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, and say there's a different way to live in this world. And then when we leave here, we'll all be together with our Lord in heaven. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from Lead Minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.